I spy with my little eye beautiful trees. 4.5 hours of labors of love on these trees. Because here, when we walk into church today, you might be reminded of this Christmas season, the entire sanctuary, the entire building is decked out in all of the Christmas fun. We piped in Christmas music yesterday. We sang, "All I Want Is a Hippopotamus for Christmas." We sang, "Oh Come, Oh Come, Emmanuel." We sang, "It's the most wonderful time of the year." It was fun, had by all. And when you walk in the sanctuary, you might be reminded of the glory days of old. Those days when you were perhaps a child and you got warm, fuzzy feelings when you thought about Christmas. Maybe when you walk in the sanctuary, you think about going down to Christmas morning, and you get to rip open your gifts either on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve. Maybe you remember taking the lights out of the garage with one of your parents and hanging them up on the house. Maybe it's smelling the Christmas cookies with Grandma and Grandpa. Maybe it's dialing in to 102.1, 102.5, 101.1, and listening to all of your favorite Christmas music. But your pastors know that for many of you, when you walk into the sanctuary this morning at the start of Advent, it doesn't bring back warm, fuzzy feelings. Your pastors are well aware that some of you cannot refuse to come to the hanging of the greens because for you, it doesn't bring back warm, fuzzy feelings. It brings back memories of pain and heartache. It reminds you of when you were growing up and you had mom and dad that all they did was fight. It reminds you of too few gifts or too many gifts. It reminds you that this season, you're going to have no one meaningful to spend the Christmas season with. It reminds you that your take-home pay is not going to outpace the expenditures that you're going to have to spend this December month, and your pastors are well aware that this is the broken reality that some of you face. And that's why I'm so thankful we get an apt word today from the prophet Jeremiah. Here in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah is often seen as the weeping prophet, the lamenting prophet. And I gotta be honest with you, I love this book. I do, it's so great. But to really do Jeremiah justice, you know as well as I do, we really gotta look at chapters 1 through 7 as a syntactical whole, and then you really got to look at chapters 8 through 9, and then you really got to look at chapters 10 through 13 together, and then really 14 through 33, and then the rest of the book. And if you really want to do it justice, you just got to read the entire book of Jeremiah in one sitting. Well, my friends, we just don't have time for that today. I'm so sorry for your loss. But here is the SparkNotes version, the Nugget version. If you are one of my confirmands taking sermon notes today, please write this down. Here is the point of the sermon. Not every problem is a problem. Not every problem is a problem. And when God's people think that there is no way out, the Lord himself provides a highway. That is the oomph of Jeremiah, and that is the oomph of this sermon today. For here is what is going on in Jeremiah for today. God's people were a small nation numerically. They were a small nation numerically, and they were there in the ancient Near East. And what do if you're small and insignificant? Well, you make friends fast. So Israel was looking out. They were looking to Egypt and Assyria and Babylon. And the scriptures, they report to us that Israel looked down that long royal highway, that long royal road towards Egypt, and there they saw Egypt, and they felt comfort in Egypt. They said, "God, we got a problem, and we're going to fix our problem, and here's how we're going to fix it. We're going to look down towards Egypt," because when they looked at Egypt, they saw high rampart walls. They saw men standing on top of the walls. They saw high cedars, the scriptures say. They saw pools of water, endless amounts of grain and horses. And they said, "We got an answer to our problem." And God said, "Don't do it, Israel. Not every problem is a problem. Don't rely on others. I want to be your God, me and me alone." And God says, "Israel, you might look down that long royal road and see nothing but
God says, when I look down there at Egypt, and the answer to your problem, I see death and destruction. I see broken walls. I see dead men on the ramparts. I see poison pools. I see nothing for you there. Not every problem is a problem. And God says, when I look at your life, I see crocuses bursting forth with color. I see fruitfulness. I see happiness when you trust and remain in me. And when God's people think that there is no way out, the Lord himself will provide a highway. Before I move into this next part of the sermon, I do have to ask for the sake of my conscience, is anyone here spent a great deal of time in central Illinois? Oh, God bless you. All right. Here we go. I would like to tell you about a problem in my life. So I grew up in the great state of Illinois. We all know Illinois is long. It's a very long state. And when I think of Illinois, it mostly conjures up warm, fuzzy feelings for me. When I think of southern Illinois, I got a ton of family over in southern Illinois. When I think of southern Illinois, I think of home. I think of my mom. I think of pork steaks on the grill. I think of countless friends and memories that will last a lifetime. And when I think of northern Illinois, up here I think of Chicago. I think of the best university in the world, Concordia University, Chicago. I think of Johnny's, Wingstop. I think of Illuminati's. I think of friends and countless memories. But when I think of central Illinois, it is nothing but a cesspool and a waste of nothingness. I'm sorry. I have traveled, I think, up and down 55 north and 55 south about 3 billion times in my life, and there is nothing, nothing there. No towns you should learn the name of. No good coffee shops to stop at. There is nothing there, and it is very much a problem in my life. Because why does God build highways? So you can move as quickly as possible through places that you don't want to be. Central Illinois is a problem in my life. And without going too deep, Concordia, that was my apt way of saying, I know some problems are real. I do know that some of you struggle with addictions. Alcohol, drugs of various kinds. Maybe you are binge eaters, binge drinkers, binge spenders. Maybe there's something in your past that you just can't let go of. And I know these problems are real. I know you experience them. But Jeremiah speaks a word for those people who are facing these problems. He says this in our holy scriptures for today. He says, I have promised them in those days and in that time I will raise up a righteous descendant from King David's line. He will do justice and righteousness throughout the land. And in that day, Judah will be saved, and this will be his name. The Lord is our righteousness. We know who this righteousness is. It is Jesus Christ who comes, and in the Gospel of Luke, he does amazing things. He drives out demons. He makes the unclean clean. He forgives the sins of those who need forgiving. He walks on water, and today he commands his disciples to go and bring him a colt and a donkey, because on that colt and donkey, he will go down the longest and loneliest highway possible. He will start his triumphant journey. He will go to a cross, and he will suffer, and he will die, and he will pay the price for the sins and the problems of this world, and our God knows these sins and problems. And he did something about it. Now, child of God, bad things happen in this world for a myriad of reasons. There's at least three. You're tracking with me. At least three reasons that bad things happen in this world. One, it's a broken creation. We have tsunamis that hit Japan. Wipe out hundreds of people. There's no reason that we can devise for that. Hurricanes hit Haiti and the Midwest. Two, bad things happen because Satan comes and he whispers lies in our ears and he entices us to do things, and it's my fault, my own fault. These are the problems that I commit. But child of God, there's a third reason that bad things happen, and it is because God has a greater purpose and plan in his mind, and he is working these things for his greater good. Here's a problem in my life that turned out to work in profound ways. So about 2 years ago, or so, I started a PhD program at Concordia Seminary. And if I didn't fully start it for this reason, it for sure was the reason I didn't quit this program. A PhD is a lot of work. But about 2 years ago, my father's a pastor, preface to the story. My father's a pastor, and about 2 years ago, my father, he was standing up in the pulpit, and he was preaching for Ascension. Ascension Eve, we had three churches that got together, and they gathered together for a midweek Ascension service, and I was up on the balcony preaching. I was playing trumpet, rather. My father was downstairs preaching in a pulpit, kind of like this. And he's preaching about Daniel chapter 7, about the Son of Man ascending and descending on the throne. And as he is in the middle of his sermon, he grabs his chest and he falls to the ground. I, of course, drop my trumpet, run down, say, somebody call 911, and I go downstairs and I try and rip off all my dad's stuff, right? He's wearing the robes and the crosses. I try and rip those off, and I hold his hand and I just repeat again and again and again and again and again, Dad, everything is going to be okay. It's 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 going to be okay. And my friends, it was not okay. My dad is now with Jesus. But not every problem is a problem. And when God's people think that there is no way out, the Lord himself will provide a highway. Friends of Concordia, I know where my dad is. He is in heaven. He's in heaven because he was a baptized child of God. And that moment in my life set a trajectory for my life that I could never have imagined. I stayed in the PhD program. I bumped into Pastor Seidler. I got to know you this past year, and now I am here at Concordia Lutheran Church almost as a pastor. It is a call from God. That is as close to the hand of the Lord as you're going to get. Not every problem is a problem. It is a beautiful thing indeed. And I tell you that to tell you this. I don't know why all the crazy things happen in your life. Some things we do indeed bring upon ourselves, but I know this. Sometimes God is using things in our life for his greater good. Sometimes problems will occur. Things will bubble up in your life. You will have stressful relationships at home with family, death of loved ones, ailments of your own, and God promises you that he is your God, that the Holy One of Israel is coming back. And he does this in the most amazing way possible, doesn't he? Because this Advent season, we get to celebrate this anticipation of Jesus coming back. About how Jesus is going to come back and he makes himself known to shepherds. Those who don't have a nickel to their name. Those who are not important to the greater socioeconomic class of the first century. Jesus comes into this world and he hangs out with lepers and prostitutes. He makes tax collectors the most generous people in the world. Jesus Christ does come and do amazing things. And he does it to fix the problems that are because of the fallen created world. And he does it to fix the problems that we experience, that we both bring upon ourselves, and he gives to us as well. Child of God, hold on to that confidence. Hold on to that God. Hold on to that God who will never leave you or forsake you. Because he is good always. I invite you to please pray with me about that at this time. Heavenly Father, you are indeed good. Your name is matchless, and we indeed invite you to stir up your power and come, and we ask you to do that, Lord, because we know this world has problems. Problems we inflict, and problems that you give to us to strengthen our faith, test our faith, work our faith for the greater good. Send your son Jesus Christ back into this world so that we no longer have these problems, so that we have paradise with you forever. But until then, we thank you for your son Jesus, for the confidence and faith that we have in him. As we pray this in his most holy and precious name. Amen.